Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. Appreciate that song service, that special. And what a privilege we have to come together in God's house to sing His praises. Luke chapter 24 this morning, as we conclude our series of messages about the sacrifice of praise, I want to challenge us today. We want to be challenged today from the Word of God to praise continually. And I want to remind you of the verse that kind of started all this off, if you want to hold your place there, and also look at Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. And so we've got Hebrews 13 and verse 15 and Luke chapter 24. But just real quickly, you'll remember we started by studying Hebrews 13, 15, where the Word of God says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." And we don't need to just praise the Lord sometimes. We need to praise Him all the time. That word continually means always. It means to just keep on doing it. And I'm just here to confess this morning that it's not always easy to do that. When things are good, it's easy to praise. When things are going well and everything seems to be all right, then it's easy. But when times are hard and things are difficult and the trials come, it's not always easy to give thanks, that the fruit of our lips would give thanks to His name. But that's what He calls us to do, to continually praise His name. And so I want to draw your attention to Luke chapter 24. And we're going to study this morning verses 44 through 53, but I kind of want to start at the end and then back up. So if you're able, let's stand together and read the Word of God, our text this morning. But we're going to read first verse 52, Luke 24 and verse 52. And the Word of God says, "And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. Our Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the privilege to come and to study Your Word, to sing Your praises, and to have this time of preaching and just everything we have together as a church family. And I pray, Father, that everything we do today would bring You honor and glory, that we would praise and bless Your holy name. And Lord, I pray You'd help me to say exactly what You'd have me to. I pray You would convict hearts today. If there's anyone here that's unsaved, they're not 100% sure that when this life is over, they'll be in heaven with You forever. I pray You'd convict their heart of their need for salvation, that they would repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and be saved today, Lord, by calling and believing on You. And Father, I pray for those who are saved, that we would be completely surrendered to Your will, that we would love You and serve You faithfully, that we would renew our commitments to You even now, Lord, that we would just serve You with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Please bless Your church. May You get all the honor and glory for everything that's done here. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. And so we have here the church. After Jesus had ascended up into heaven and he gives them instructions for what to do after He departed into heaven. And He says, "I want you to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit to come." But you'll see that it says that they worshiped Him. Then they returned with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And so we want to learn about that because that's where they ended up. So how did they get to a place where they were continually praising and blessing God? Because that's where I want to be. I want to be in a place where I'm always praising and blessing God, just constantly. And there are a lot of people who are constantly doing a lot of things. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever known anybody that's constantly complaining? Are you one of those people constantly complaining? I told you before, I'm probably that kind of person most of the time. I find something wrong with most situations, and believe it or not, I find something wrong with most people. Now, I don't look for that. It's just apparent to me. Now, what's wrong with me is not so obvious, but what's wrong with everybody else is just, it's just glaring. But maybe you're somebody that complains a lot or is constantly complaining. A lot of people are constantly worrying. Anybody like that? My mom called those worry warts. I don't really know what that means even, but that's what mom said, so it must be a real thing.
Amen.
Worry wart. Somebody that's worrying. Anybody like that, constantly worrying? And some of you are lying because your hands aren't raised. Yeah, constantly doing a lot of things. There are other people, and I have been accused of this. I think it's a false accusation, but some people are constantly talking. You ever know anybody that just won't stop talking? Yeah, you're like, I'm looking at one right now. There was one lady, and she kind of was like that. She always was talking, and she was supposed to take her mother-in-law to the doctor, but she couldn't get her to stop talking to the neighbor. She's over there talking to the neighbor, and the mother-in-law's waiting in the car, wanting her to come. I got to get to my doctor's appointment. I'm going to be late. And finally, she broke away from the neighbor and came and got in the car, and she said to her mother-in-law, sorry, but I just didn't know what to do. The woman wouldn't stop listening to me. Maybe that's the problem, really. There was one lady who was quite a talker, and she went into the other room to make a phone call, and she came back, and she was only gone for about 30 minutes. Her husband was surprised, because usually when she makes a phone call, she's gone for at least an hour. And she came back, and he said, is everything all right? You weren't on the phone very long. And she was like, oh, yeah, it was all right. I just dialed the wrong number. Only took 30 minutes. Some people are constantly talking, they're constantly complaining, constantly doing a lot of things, but I want to challenge you today, and myself as well, that we ought to be people who are constantly praising God. Amen. If you got to be talking all the time, what a better thing to do than praise God. Amen. And bless His holy name. So let's rewind here a little bit in our scripture and go back to verse 44 and see how did they end up at a place where they were continually praising God and blessing His name. In verse 44, the Word of God says, and He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And He led them out as far as to Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Just a couple of things I want to share with you this morning. Number one, if you're taking notes, you can write down that praising continually commences with scriptural understanding. It commences, it begins with scriptural understanding. Look at it there in verse 45. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. None of this was possible until they understood the Word of God. And Jesus had spoken to them the Word of God. He had told them about Moses and the law and the prophets and all the things that pertained to Himself, that He would come and be the Messiah, that He would die for our sins and be raised again. He told them about all these things that would happen. He told them, listen, the Jews are going to take the Son of Man, they're going to slay Him, but He's going to raise again the third day, and they didn't get it. They never understood it. They didn't comprehend. They had no spiritual or scriptural understanding. But Jesus gave them understanding of the Scriptures, and it changed everything. I want you to know something today, dear friend. Until we understand Scripture, we're not going to get it. We're not going to be the people of God. We're not going to be able to live like the people of God. We're not going to be able to make a difference in the world that the people of God are supposed to make in the world until we understand the Word of God. We need a scriptural understanding. It's important for us that we never neglect the Bible. R.A. Torrey wrote a book about D.L. Moody, about why God used D.L. Moody. He was a great preacher and led many, multiple thousands of people to Christ. But I want you to listen to this. And he said, you may talk about about power, but if you neglect the one book that God has given you as the one instrument through which He imparts and exercises His power, you will not have it. You may read many books and go to many conventions, and you may have all your all-night prayer meetings to pray for the power of the Holy Ghost, but unless you keep in constant and close association with the one book, the Bible, you will not have power. He went on to say, and if you ever had power, you will not maintain it except by the daily, earnest, intense study of that book. 99 Christians in every 100 are merely playing at Bible study, and therefore 99 Christians in every 100 are merely weaklings. When they might be giants, both in their Christian life and in their service. Hey, listen, we ought to pray. We ought to pray for the Holy Spirit to empower us. We ought to worship together. We ought to do a lot of things. But I'm telling you, until you're in the Word of God, you will not have the power of God. Amen. Listen, you need to remember something. The critics can mock this book all they want to. And the unbelievers can ridicule it all they want to. But this is no mere ordinary book. Amen. This is the living Word of God. This book is quick and powerful. It's alive. And we need to realize that we have to have a scriptural understanding. So how do we get that? Well, we need to seek it prayerfully. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Listen, Paul told the church at Colossae that he said, we're praying for you to have a spiritual understanding. We're praying for you to understand the Word of God so that you can have wisdom and understanding, so that you can walk worthy of the Lord. And that all starts when you understand the truth of the Word of God. We ought to pray, seek it prayerfully. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Listen, it doesn't do us much good to open this book without praying about it first. We need to pray. We need to seek understanding prayerfully. We need to pray that God will help us to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We need to pray that God will give us wisdom, and that wisdom comes from the Word of God. If you don't study your Bible regularly, you're never going to be what God wants you to be. If you keep getting beat by the devil, one of the biggest reasons we do is because we're not in the Word of God. We've got to seek prayerfully, pray for God to give you understanding. And then we've got to search spiritually. In 1 Corinthians 2, 13 and 14, the Bible says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And listen, when Jesus was giving the truths to the disciples before He opened their understanding, listen, He gave them the truth. It was the truth. That truth that He gave them didn't change. It was their understanding that changed. Because the Holy Spirit of God gave them an understanding. And that's what we desperately need, is to give us a spiritual understanding. And we've got to have the Holy Spirit to teach us. The things in this book, the reason the world mocks it, because they don't understand it. The reason they don't understand it is because they don't believe it. And that's the way God works. Amen. He wants us to trust Him before He's going to open our understanding. Amen. And so we've got to seek it prayerfully. We've got to search for it spiritually. In other words, we've got to ask God's Holy Spirit and look for His Holy Spirit to give us an understanding of these truths. And then we've got to study diligently. Acts 17:11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Listen, I'll never ask you to take my word for it when I stand in this pulpit. I'm going to do my best to study and to understand and rightly divide. I'm going to do my best to present it clearly and truthfully, but I make mistakes. I get things wrong. And it's your job to have a ready mind to hear the Word of God. Amen. And it's your job to search the Scriptures to see whether those things are so. That's one of the reasons I encourage you guys to take notes. It's a little bit harder to fall asleep if you're taking notes. And you've got some things written down that you can go back and study out. You can go back and look those scriptures up. You can go back and dig a little deeper. You can go back and study it out. But we need to study diligently. They searched the scriptures daily. You, listen, this is not a weekly thing. If the only Bible you get is when you come in here and sit down, that's not enough. We need to get in the Word of God every day. And you know 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we need to not just read the Word of God, not just check it off some reading list, but we need to study the Word of God. We need to dig deep and look for those truths, because we've prayed and we're looking for the Holy Spirit to show us something and teach us something, and it commences with scriptural understanding. Now listen, we're talking about continuing in praise. We're talking about continually praising God, but that all starts when you understand God's Word. Because if you don't know anything about God, you can't praise God. If you don't know who He is, you can't praise Him for who He is. If you don't know what He's done, you can't praise Him for what He's done. If you don't know what He's going to do, you can't praise Him for what He's going to do. And it's not enough for me to stand up here and yell at you and tell you all of those things. You need to get it for yourself. It changes everything. Listen, I love hearing great preaching, and I love hearing new truths or something I'd never learned before, maybe just a different perspective than I've looked at it, and I love hearing that, and it touches my heart. But I'm telling you, when you're in your Bible, and you've been praying, asking God to show you something, and you're reading the scriptures, and all of a sudden God shows you something, man, it's awesome. And it changes your heart, and it causes you to rejoice in the Lord. That's what I'm talking about this morning. This whole thing of praising continually, it started when God opened their understanding. And then I want you to notice next that it continues with spiritual living. When you get the truth of the Word of God, it ought to change the way you live for God. I can't tell you why, but the vast majority of people who profess Christ as their Savior do not live for Christ. I don't know why. If you look at the numbers, even among our missionaries, the number of people who make a profession of faith and those who follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, the numbers are really pathetic. It's almost as if we want to use Jesus like a fire escape, but we don't want Him to be the Lord of our life. And really it trickles down from there, because even those among those who are saved and baptized, those who are in the church who actually are faithful and living for the Lord, the numbers are small there too. And none of us are perfect, but we ought to be striving to live for Jesus. We ought to be striving to know Him and to love Him and to serve Him. Why is it that we don't? I don't know, but I know this. You're never going to be somebody who is continually in God's house praising and blessing God if you don't have a desire somewhere in you to live for Him. And if you've been saved, I know somewhere in you is a burning, passionate desire to live for the One who died for you. It's somewhere inside of you. We need to get all the rest of the junk out of the way and get into the Word of God, and then we need to continue in spiritual living. Look at verse 48. How were they living? Well, Jesus told them one thing they were going to have to do was to witness personally. Witness personally. In verse 48, it says, "And ye are witnesses of these things." Jesus told them the gospel. The Son of Man's going to die, and He's going to be raised up again. They didn't understand it. Then after He'd been with them a while, they had seen Him raised by many infallible proofs. They saw the risen Savior. He said, "This is what I was telling you about." And He opened their understanding. And all of a sudden, all of those truths that Jesus had told them from the law and the prophets and the Psalms, and all of those truths He had told them about Himself, all of a sudden it became clear as the Holy Spirit of God illuminated those truths in their heart. The light came on. You ever had one of those? Man, I'm so thankful for those moments. Sometimes I feel like I'm just in the dark, but when God gives me one of those light bulb moments, the light came on and Jesus showed them these truths, and it wasn't just, oh, that's what this is. No, it was something deeper than that. They understood that for centuries God had promised these things, and now they had come to pass. And the light came on, they understood it, and he said, all of that stuff I told you, and all of those things that you have seen and experienced, you are to be witnesses of those things. And I'm here to tell you, I believe without any doubt in my heart, those men had no question. There was not a question whether or not they would be a witness or not. They weren't going to decide later if they wanted to be a witness for Jesus. It was already done. After all we've seen, after all we've heard, after all we've experienced, after these truths that Jesus has showed us, how the Old Testament has perfectly promised and prophesied of everything that Jesus would do, and how we saw Jesus fulfill every one of those things, and how he has accomplished the scriptures, and how he has fulfilled all things, how could we not tell everybody about that? I ask you again, how could we not tell everybody about that? You can't be a witness to something you haven't personally experienced. A testimony is to tell what you know. You can't be a witness, you can't testify, you can't be a witness for these truths unless you have personally experienced it. In other words, you have to have personally accepted Christ as your Savior. Verses 47 and 48, he said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Well, how can they preach about repentance and remission of sins unless they've repented and had their sins forgiven? But you can't. Listen, friend, if you've never been saved, you'll never be a witness, you'll never know real joy, and you have no reason to praise the Lord. But if you have repented of your sins, and you have received remission of your sins, you have every reason to praise the Lord forever and ever and ever. We were on our way over to my mom's house Thursday to go see the family and eat too much, and it was a good day. And on the way down, we were asking the kids, we went around the car saying some things we were thankful for. And I tell you, one of the things I'm most thankful for, I'm thankful for my salvation, I'm thankful for my family, for each of my kids, I'm thankful for God's been so good. But one of the things I always just overwhelms me is the forgiveness of sin. Remission. Our sins are not on our account anymore. And that is overwhelming to me. Amen. Not just the sin before I was saved, the sin I've committed since then, the sin that I'll commit until the day Jesus changes me and glorifies this body. Every sin can be forgiven, is forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Man. And I have experienced that, and therefore I ought to be a witness of that. I told you before about Hannah. She was a little girl who had gotten saved, and she told her mom, she said, I think Jesus moved out of my heart. And her mom said, what are you talking about, honey? He's always going to be in your heart. She said, no, I think he moved into my throat because I'm always wanting to tell people about him. Well, that's a good place for him to move. Amen. Witness personally and worship joyfully. In verse 52, we read, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now, Jesus had just ascended up into heaven, but he'd given them a promise. He said, now listen, I want you to go ahead of me because when you go, the Holy Spirit is going to come. He had promised them. And remember, they didn't get it earlier, but they got it now because he opened their understanding. And they had a concept of what was going to happen now. He said, I'm leaving, but it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And so he said, I want you to go back. I want you to wait for the Comforter to come because he's going to empower you. And so they were able to go back and worship joyfully. As he went up into heaven, they went back. Before they left, they worshiped. They bowed down on their faces before God as he rose up into heaven, and they worshiped him, and they got up and went to do what God told them to do with great joy. And friend, we ought to worship with great joy. I mean, we ought to humble ourselves and bow our hearts before God, and we ought to have great joy in our hearts. It's getting to be about Christmas time. How many of you people went shopping on Friday? See your hands? Any? Just a couple of you? Only one of you brave enough to admit. Okay. I saw a video of people at these stores, and it was crazy. Any of you see those videos? I mean, people are trying to kill each other over a veggie steamer. And I thought, like, any of you are going to eat vegetables? I'm watching the video. Listen, what in the world? They're tackling each other. One lady took one from a little girl, and then the mama was going to kill her, and it was terrible. I saw one video, and it must have been at a bigger store. They had those roll-up doors, and there's 20 workers trying to hold the door back. And before the crowd broke through the door, literally tore the door off its hinges, and all the workers are like, I'm out of here. This is not worth minimum wage. It was nuts. Why? Why have we gotten so crazy as a society? People's joy, or their perceived joy, their happiness, is all wrapped up in stuff.
Right.
We don't have contentment in America today. And listen, I don't care who you are in this room. Almost all of you, I'll paint with a broad brush this morning. Almost all of you want something.
Amen.
I do. There's things I want. Listen, every year my mother asks me for a Christmas list. It's ever since I've been a little boy, she wants a Christmas list every year. And I'm going to go ahead and confess, I have no trouble producing that list.
Amen.
I mean, it's there. It's ready to go. I could text it to her right now if I needed to. I'm ready to go. Why? Because there's stuff I want.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, though, and I believe this is true as I could be, if I don't get any of it, I'm going to be just fine.
Amen.
I'm all right. I am thankful for what I have.
Amen.
And the reality is I don't need a single thing.
Amen.
He gives me everything I need.
Amen.
He gives me a bunch of stuff I want.
Amen.
Because he's good. Amen. And I'm thankful for what he does. Listen, friends, we can't wrap up our joy or our happiness in stuff.
Amen.
Our joy is in the Lord. They rejoiced because of what God had done and what he was going to do. Worship, one man said, is any surrendered response to truth. The word of God is our worship manual because it is truth. Anytime I surrender my will in obedience to the truth of God, I have worshiped him. Did you get that? When I surrender my will to the truth of God, I have worshiped God. It's surrender. It's humbling yourself. It's bowing yourself before God. And when God's word says this, and I submit myself to that, that's worship. Some people have the idea that worship is some worked up emotional response in a music service, and that's not what worship is. How do you know? Because I've seen people have that same response and bigger at football games. Maybe that's worship. I don't know. Not the right kind of worship. Worship can be singing because we're told to, but we also worship when we give, when we praise, when we serve, when we put others before ourselves, when we witness, when we have faith in God, when we're willing to suffer, when we're content, when we confess our sin, when we bear the fruits of the Spirit, when we pray in faith, when we submit to God's will, and any other time we yield in response to the truth of the Word of God. That is worship. Worship. And we need to worship joyfully. Man, I can just see those guys, and you'd think, man, Jesus just disappeared up into heaven. You'd think they'd be sad, but they weren't sad because they had the truth of the Word of God. that yes, he was going, but he was coming again. And they went with joy. And listen, friend, I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe you're having a hard time, some trials, some tribulation. Maybe you're just sad about things. Well, let me just remind you that whatever situation you're in, Jesus is gone, but he's coming again, and you can rejoice and have joy every day.
Amen.
Worship joyfully. Witness personally, and last, work continually. Look at verse 53. And we're continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Listen, the temple was a place of service. The temple was the place where the ministry or the service of God took place. Now, I want you to get this because the church today isn't to replace the temple. As a matter of fact, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. But our lives are to be lives of service to God. The temple was a place of service. It was a place of work. And we serve the Lord in a lot of ways. But some of the greatest ways to do the work of the Lord is by being in his house, praising and blessing his holy name. We ought to be in God's house.
Amen.
With God's people.
Amen.
Praising and blessing the holy name of God. How did they get to this place where they were continually praising and blessing God? And you'll find as you follow the church from here at the Mount going back to Jerusalem, and how they were there in Jerusalem continually praising God, and then they were there together in the upper room, and they continued steadfastly in the doctrines, in the apostles' doctrine, and in breaking of bread and fasting and prayers and in praising God. They continued to do that, and they continued to do that. Why? Because they were living out the truth of the Word of God. How are we going to continually praise the Lord? Well, it starts with a scriptural understanding. And that has to begin with salvation. Do you know for sure that you'll spend eternity in heaven? Do you know for sure that if you were to die right now, that you would spend eternity in heaven with God? If you don't, you need to trust Christ today. If you do know for sure that you're saved, are you praising God continually? We're constantly doing a lot of things. But it doesn't need to be worry. It doesn't need to be any other thing but to constantly praise and bless the name of our God. We ought to praise him to ourselves and sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. We ought to praise him to others and tell others about what he has done for us and glorify his name. But we ought to be constantly praising. We're going to get ready for an invitation this morning. Would you stand with me, please? There was a fisherman who went out to sea, and the guy he was with wasn't a believer. And a storm came up, and they were threatened, and they were getting scared. And the guy who wasn't a believer knew his buddy was a believer. He said, "Man, you need to pray for us. Please pray for us." And the guy said, "Listen, it's been a long time since I've done that or even been to a church." But they stayed after him to keep praying, and he finally cried out, "Oh, Lord, I haven't asked anything of you in 15 years. If you'll help us now and bring us safely to land, I promise I won't bother you again for another 15. That's about the way some people's Christianity is. Once a week, once a month, a couple of times a year. Hey, listen, our God deserves our continual praise. And if you've not been continually praising him, I want to challenge you to get your heart right with him this morning. If he's calling you to make any decision today, I want to invite you to come while we sing.
Page 551.
Number 551. You need to be saved? Come and be saved today. The Lord's calling you to baptism, church membership, whatever it is, would you come?